Life just got a little better, thanks to Merryman Herbs.
Listen in to Merryman Herbs, it's a better life show. Every first and third Sunday on 1340 Radio AM for the latest in holistic, natural, and alternative health information. Mike King will bring you a little fun with interesting health tips and the up-to-date, scientifically-based health news. He will interview some of the leading doctors, scientists, and leaders in the holistic health fields. Stay on top of your health and start getting a better life.
Life just got a little better, thanks to Merryman Herbs.
The following information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. It is for educational purposes only. Always seek the advice of your qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding your medical condition.
It's time for health tips, trends, and fun facts. Bees exist in a wide variety of habitats and live on every continent except Antarctica. One of the titles of Egyptian pharaohs was Bee King. In Greek mythology, the father of apiculture, Aristasos, the son of Apollo and the nymph Cyrene, was said to have learned the skill of beekeeping from the Muses. There are three main types of bee propolis: red, green, and brown. Brown propolis is commonly gathered from poplar, birch, alder, pine, and willow trees, and this is the one that we're most commonly used to using. Today we have with us Dr. Mark Kaler. He's a PhD, a master herbalist, and a certified nutritionist. He's also on the board of advisors for Nature and Nectar. Mark, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's our pleasure. Now, we're going to talk today about something that's a radically new but ancient. It's been around for a long time. I think it's been around since 500 BC, used by the ancient Greeks, Romans, Egyptians, used virtually everywhere by a number of people, used around the world. Around here, we call it propolis, but the actual pronunciation is propolis. Can you tell us a little bit about this? Obviously, it's bee propolis or bee propolis. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of this particular, I guess it's a product that the bees produce?
Yeah, propolis is actually a resin that bees collect from a wide range of different plants. It's mostly trees, poplar, birch, alder, willow. But there are a couple of unique types of propolis that comes from some shrubs and legumes and things. But it's a resin that's widely collected all around the world, wherever these bees are living. And they use it basically to keep the hive a healthy place. They seal up cracks and holes in the hive, use it to help maintain the temperature of the hive. They line the walls of the hive with this propolis stuff. And that's one of the reasons why the hive is probably the cleanest place in the natural environment, is because propolis, being such a powerful antimicrobial, keeps that hive extraordinarily clean. Propolis actually comes from the Greek, pro meaning in defense of, and polis meaning city. So they actually would line the entrance to the hives with this propolis so that every time a bee would come into the hive, it would actually kind of go through a bee car wash, so to speak.
They'd get a bath. Yeah. Yep. So this actually is kind of obviously something to not only just wash the bees, but maybe keep them obviously healthy. So it's got all kinds of antipathogenic, maybe even helping them with, you know, having a very healthy life. You know, I'm thinking on a human sense, maybe helping with all kinds of chronic disease, including cancer and things like that. So this is something that the bees have used for since their creation. And obviously, it would be something that would be very holistic then. So it does more than one thing.
It's interesting because they used to think that propolis was just this architectural, you know, this engineering device that bees used. More recently, in the last probably 20 years or so, they've actually done some studies where they painted the inside of various hives. And the bees that live in a hive with lots of propolis, they actually measured their immune system and immune system function. And the bees are actually healthier. So they know that the bees seem to be using propolis. They know it at least on one level or another. You know, these bees are aware that propolis is healthy for them. And even when they do studies, when they introduce some sort of disease or microbe into the beehive environment, the bees actually go out and gather more propolis. So somehow they know that propolis is very good for them. Good for whatever bee would call their own immune system.
Right,
and
right.
All these things.
Awesome. Well, the other thing that I was kind of curious about, too, is I was reading that some of the beekeepers really don't like it. Why wouldn't they like to have that around?
Well, you know, they didn't used to like it because they didn't realize it was good for anything. It's a very, very hard, waxy resin. So
okay.
When you're a beekeeper, if you want to go in there and gather the honey or the royal jelly and things, it was just something that clogged up the works and stuff. And, you know,
it got in the way.
Years ago, they weren't real happy with the stuff, but now they found out they can actually harvest it, and people want to use it medicinally. But for a long, and they make candles out of it too now. But for a long time, it was just a hard waxy resin that clogged up the hives for these beekeepers.
Okay, well, what is bee propolis made of then?
It's actually numerous substances. It's probably 50% or so of this resin, probably another 30% or so wax. There's some essential oils that make up, 8 to 10% or so. Pollen, obviously, is going to be a part of it because bees are always out going out around gathering a lot of pollen. And then there's this active category of other compounds, and those are the ones that we're most intrigued with. And they can be anywhere from a 3 to 7 or 8% of, okay, the substances. But when you actually look at the chemistry of it, and they've done a lot of work on that in the last 20 or 30 years, there are hundreds and hundreds of compounds that have been discovered to date that go into propolis, and there are probably numerous compounds that we haven't even discovered and named yet. So we really don't know exactly everything that's in propolis, but we do know that there are hundreds of different promising compounds, certainly from the medicinal aspect, in the propolis.
Well, I was reading that there was over 300 known right now, but obviously there's probably a lot more than that in the propolis. Now, there's different types of propolis. I'm familiar with the brown. That's the one that we generally use a lot of. Been used, I guess, as far back as you were telling me the other day, about 60 years ago, the studies were beginning on all of this. And I've been reading, you know, as early as 1960, they were starting to use that because they saw some medicinal properties. And, of course, we know how wonderful honey, and some people are really into the pollen too, although some people can be allergic to it. But there's a brown propolis, a red propolis, and now and there's also a green. And I think the red is the newest. Can you tell us a little bit about each one of those and what they do and what they're composed of and so forth? And I think there's a cute story about the red propolis too, about people thinking that it was something had gone bad.
Yeah, that's actually a huge question. I hope we have about 14 hours of radio airtime to talk about what these things can do. But basically,
we'll do that on another show. We'll do that on another show. Yeah,
a few more shows actually.
Yeah,
but it's the resin that the bees gather. It's the color of whatever that resin is, and most resin from trees is a brown. So the vast majority of propolis around the planet is a brown propolis. That's 80 to 85% of the propolis that's out there. Probably 10% is a green, which comes from a plant, in this case, from the southeast corner of Brazil that actually exudes a green. It's a shrub there that actually exudes a very interesting green, dark green color.
Yeah, and they have big scientific names, so we won't get into that.
Yeah, and I have a hard time pronouncing them, so I always worry that somebody who speaks Latin is going to laugh at the way I pronounce this. So
yeah,
just,
me too.
It's a lot easier. And then the red is an interesting one because, as you mentioned, there's a kind of a cute story associated with it. When the beekeepers were actually seeing bees coming back and lining their hive with this red propolis, they had not seen that before, and this was in the northeast corner of Brazil, actually. And what they actually initially thought was that bees were actually gathering sugar from a nearby candy factory that had been dyed red.
You know,
candies.
Willy Wonka's candy, huh?
So they thought there was just something wrong with it, or it had these artificial dyes with it. So nobody did anything with it. You know, they would just kind of toss that stuff away.
Oh, wow.
Not be passing on all these dyes. Well, thankfully, about 10 years or so ago, the founder of Natura Nectar, Alessandro, and a group of other investigators actually found the plant source for it. And it's this legume that grows in kind of the swampy mangroves in the northeast corner of Brazil. And since then, they've discovered other types of red, a little bit in Cuba, a little bit in Vietnam. But most of it comes from that northeast corner of Brazil. And thankfully, it does not derive from the dyed candy factories.
Right. I think it's Dalbergia is the genus on that. And I'm not going to even try to get into the species, but obviously, you know, anybody could look this up and get the detail on that. So my understanding here, to kind of clarify this, are these like from botanical saps or resins that the botanicals are using instead of the nectar that we're so used to the bees collecting and the nectar and the pollen from the blossoms and the flowers? This is actually sap coming from different botanicals?
Yeah, basically. Most of it will come from where there's an injury on the bark or something like that. You'll see that kind of gooey resin be exuded by the tree trunk or branch or whatever it may be. In the case of some of the resins, sometimes depending on the plant, it actually will be from a broken leaf as well. But yeah, these are resins that the plants exude generally to repair someplace where there's been a break or damage. It's a protective element for the plants themselves.
Interesting.
The bees gathered, and you know, it takes them a lot of time, a lot of effort. You know, a hive really does not produce a lot of propolis, so they go to a lot of effort to collect this stuff. and bring it back to the hive. And it's actually a little different when they bring it into the hive because it's interacted with some enzymes and things produced by the bees, which seems to enhance the overall activity and make it even a little safer, ironically.
Wow. Okay, so a plant gets injured. It's putting out all of these phenomenal compounds. Then the bees come in, and they, through their digestive system, they enzymatically process it, make it even more purified, probably more potent, and even safer, more biologically available, bioavailable. And then they use that in the hives. So now, as a company, I know you work for Nature and Nectra. As a company, a lot of times, you know, I'll see some further processing, and you have some really unique processing. I want to hear about that because, you know, we've got this healing resin from the tree. We have the bees naturally metabolizing it and turning it into even a more powerful product. And then we as humans, in our infinite wisdom, have gone further. But your company is doing something extremely unique, and this is what's gotten me really excited because I think you've got it figured out. So explain to me what you do to purify, standardize, and get these resins so they're something that, you know, we can eat in pill form or use as a spray or whatever.
Sure. Let me correct one little thing, though. I actually don't work for Natura Nectar because I don't want to get them in trouble for things I may say.
Oh, okay.
So I'm an independent freestanding, and I'm, you know, in the process of creating a nonprofit organization to share information with people.
Okay,
And I'm such a big fan of Propolis. I like getting word out there about it, so it allows me to speak, I think, a little more freely on these things.
Exactly, because of the laws, you know, with the big pharma and, of course, the FDA and so forth, you know, you're not allowed to really make certain claims and say certain things if you're selling the product. But since you're a member of the not-for-profit, so you're just, I guess, on the board of advisors for Nature and Nectar then.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's when you look at the range of things that Propolis brings to the table, you can see why a lot of powerful people might be threatened by the
yeah.
You know, this natural, safe, amazingly diverse array of benefits that Propolis can bring to the table.
And we're gonna get into that, Mark. We're gonna definitely be talking about all of that. So obviously you'll be able to have some further expanded freedom of speech, which we normally wouldn't have when we talk about medicinal things. There's not really a lot of freedom of speech, and a lot of people are becoming aware of that, which is, I think, sometimes good and also sometimes very devastating for the industry. But okay, so we're gonna get into what is it that Nature and Nectar does that's unique among all the other manufacturers. I know there's a lot of different companies doing a lot of different things. I'm used to the old alcohol or propylene glycol, you know, putting it in a botanical, you know, putting that in there. But what is it that the company that you advise for does?
Well, an important thing to understand about Natura Nectar is that they're vertically integrated. They're involved with the beekeepers all the way up to selling the finished product and stuff. So they have control of everything from beginning to end. All they really can't control is the bees. They're kind of doing their thing regardless of what we
yeah.
But thankfully, they like to go out and collect that propolis. But one of the important things about the Natura Nectar line is that they use a proprietary extraction process, which they call green extraction. And they're able, through this unique extraction process, to use only water, but to still extract out all those compounds that are water-soluble and alcohol-soluble compounds. So you don't have to use the very high alcohol content that is traditionally used for this. You don't have to use those chemical solvents.
Right. Sometimes I see benzene and acetone, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, these are carcinogens. Why would you use those in an extraction? So obviously this company's gotten completely away from that, using probably a very pure distilled water for the extraction.
Yeah, and what it allows them to do is basically extract all those healthy compounds, that 5% of compounds that we're looking for, and free it up from that waxy resin, which, you know, simply we can't digest. I mean, you know, think about taking a piece of beeswax, chewing on it. I mean, how much do you think your body's actually going to absorb out of that? It's not going to be a pleasant experience.
And I've done that. As a little kid, we get honeycomb, and then you end up chewing on the comb and ended up having to spit it out.
Yeah. But it makes all those things more bioavailable. It concentrates them. It allows them to standardize the product so you know you're getting consistent levels of these actives. And also it frees it from anything that may be in the product that you want to avoid. For instance, common allergens. They've actually had it tested by a leading agency, I think in Denmark, actually test things for their, in a sense, their allergic potential.
Right.
And it's been tested to, you know, to be free of common allergens. And that's, again, really unusual.
Awesome.
Something coming from the beehive that normally is associated with pollen and things with it.
Well, I was reading on WebMD just a little bit about what they had to say about propolis, and sometimes they're not always up to date with all their information, particularly when it comes to alternatives. And they were, you know, putting a warning out that, you know, with the bee propolis, if you have allergies to pollen and so forth, to definitely stay away from it. Where, again, you know, I have customers buying honey so they can get the pollen,
yep,
and I have customers taking pollen to help with the allergies. So, you know, again, I think that's where a qualified healthcare practitioner can maybe further educate. But with your company's or the company that you represent, with their extraction process, there's a really minimal or a really reduced probably problem or whatever that you would encounter with the allergens.
Yeah, the quote actually from this independent testing agency is the preparation did not produce any evidence of delayed contact hypersensitivity. So it shows, you know, again, in independent clinical or laboratory testing that it does not cause that. And they've been around, you know, using these products, particularly in Europe, for about 25 years or so. And,
wow,
and I think there's been maybe one person who might have been slightly, have a slight allergic response to it, but they're, you know, they're not even sure that's the case. So
right,
we're talking about tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people, and probably more, that have used it without any allergic response. But you know, anytime you're concerned about allergies, you know, start off with a smaller dose,
right,
and gradually increase it and see how your body responds.
Right, and sometimes it's not an allergic response. Sometimes there's a, what we call a Herxheimer or detox response. Sometimes people are extremely sensitive. I deal with a lot of people that have Lyme or MTHFR or other chronic disease and illness, and they, you know, when they start taking supplements, they want to know, you know, the purity. They want to know the compounds that are in there. And, you know, it's always our big mantra is to go slowly and to go low, slow and low. So go with a really low dose and go very slowly with it to make sure you don't get uncomfortable. Now, you mentioned something that kind of turned on a little light for me, that you're talking about like third-party documentation or third-party analysis. So Nature and Nectar also, on top of probably having the CGMP and the high quality control and so forth, they're actually having third-party testing done?
Yeah, one quick comment on the cleansing response or that cleansing reaction that you're,
yes,
talking about. That's particularly relevant, I think, when it comes to propolis products, because they're going to be very potent antimicrobials.
They're
right, very potent antifungals. Anybody who's dealt with a systemic candida infection, when that stuff starts to get killed off too quickly, it can be quite an uncomfortable process.
Oh, yes.
Taking something that's going to go into the body, kill off these little invading microbes that we're trying to get rid of, your body still has to get rid of those dead bodies and things, and that can be problematic to some degree.
Well, we have a lot of products, too, that kind of can help with that. We encounter that when we get into the probiotics and so forth, and I definitely want to talk to you about this with the bees, because they actually, with this propolis, because it has prebiotics, but anyway, yeah, there's a lot of products we can take to help to cleanse the colon, to get things out, and to help to cleanse the blood and support the liver and so forth. So even if you do get into a Herxheimer detox, there's other supplements that you can take to help support the body's function of, you know, getting that the train to the station or getting the blood cleansed or whatever. But anyway, this third-party verification is something that Nature and Nectar is involved in.
Yeah, they do testing through an organization called Silicur. It's an international organization. From what I understand, it's, you know, the elite of kind of quality control. And Silicur or their representatives go in and they basically do an audit of the company that checks all these QC things down to, you know, you crossing your T's and dotting your I's and doing everything the way they are. And they scored really well in that. So, that, you know, they're going that extra mile, you know, not just, you know, controlling the product from beginning to end, doing their CGMP, doing this unique green extraction process, because it would be a lot easier just to throw some alcohol on it and go out and sell it in that regard.
And a lot of companies do.
Yep.
Yeah, they do that. I mean, it's just, and then you look, and I look at them, you know, because you know how picky I am with all of my products. It's another reason why I have you on the show, because you've been chosen.
But I feel honored in that.
Oh, well, bless your heart. Thank you. But, you know, I a lot of times see companies that, and they don't focus either. And I kind of like the fact that, you know, your company is going from basically the harvest all the way to the end packaging, because a lot of companies now, I'm concerned about fair trade and making sure that the farmers and so forth are being treated properly, that the environment's being treated properly. And we're seeing that more and more in our industry where the whole picture, you know, we're selling a holistic product and the whole picture. We're not making dangerous, deadly, toxic, human-made poisons that damage the environment and, you know, you've got to dispose of it as a biohazard. We're dealing with farmers and with the creation and with things that are very natural and very balanced and doing good all the way through the process and watching for and making sure that the consumer doesn't get anything that could be toxic or allergenic or anything that could cause any problems. It's just really wonderful. It makes me look good at the end of the day. My customers know that when they come into, you know, Merry Man Herbs, that they're going to get a high quality product and no harm was done. And that's what's really exciting to be in this industry. And I'm sure you get excited about that too.
Oh, absolutely. And I like the fact Natura Nectar has dedicated a percentage to give back to the beekeepers of their profits. So they really are trying to give back. They're being supportive. They're funding research. They're working with the Brazilian government to further the research. And this is really important because I don't know if most people are aware of it, but bees are really under dramatic stress.
Yes, right, let's talk quickly about that. That's yes. And, you know, I read in your newsletter, you've got a wonderful newsletter, and we will be posting links on our website at merryman.com. We'll be posting links. If you want to quickly give us your link right now, feel free to do that.
Yeah, it's radianthealthproject.com.
Okay. And your Facebook link?
Facebook is also Radiant. Just go to Facebook and then search Radiant Health Project and you'll find me there. I also have another one called Health from the Hive, which
yes,
is all focusing on the gifts of the bees, the propolis, the royal jelly, honey, all those wonderful and sometimes yummy gifts that the bees share with us.
Right. Now, they'll probably see a picture of you covered in bees. I think I think that's real interesting. I don't know if I could ever do that, but you obviously, you know, I don't want to call you a character, but you obviously have a
I've
really...
I've been called worse, so a character I'll take. I'll probably embrace that title.
You're obviously very brilliant, and you've got a sense of humor, and I just absolutely love that. Now, bees in your newsletter that you sent out, you've got a small sideline article that says bees, today's canary in a coal mine. What, you know, Mark, I post this stuff all the time on our Facebook, and what's going on with the bees? The chronic collapse, and I know, again, all of this propolis is actually coming from killer honeybees too, and that I'm sure the harvesting has got to be very carefully done. But tell us a little bit. Let's talk very quickly about, you know, what's going on with the bees, because we're going to get into all the healing properties and we don't want to lose this.
Sure. And colony collapse disorder is devastating bees in this country, and it seems to be spreading to other countries. I think in the U.S. last year, they lost somewhere between 30 and 40% of all the hives in the U.S. Just in one season, one year. So the bees are dying at dramatic rates, and there are a number of discussions as to what the causes are. I think the neonicotinoid pesticides are one
exactly
of the leading culprits. They go in, they attack the central nervous system of the bees.
Right, we've posted that.
Or kills
that
them outright, or yes, it actually screws up their brains, so they get lost, they get lazy. And that's what I talk about, how I think these are canaries for us in that all these same things are happening to humans, just not obviously in those same numbers. But I think it's a wake-up call for us to be a little more attentive to our environment, you know, what we drink, what we eat, what we breathe, you know, all those things that we surround ourselves with. Because I think those same things are happening to us, just maybe not in quite as dramatic numbers. So we're losing bees, and why that's relevant? Well, you know, hundreds of different foods are relying on bees for pollination, and one of my favorites this summer season is watermelon.
Right, right.
Watermelon, you know, they need those bees for the harvest.
Well, and the
Another
nuts and the fruits. And,
they're
yeah,
concerned with the almond harvest in California. They're really getting really quite concerned about this and looking at even maybe making electronic bees to try to go out and do this instead. So
the drones, huh?
And that seems completely warped and kind of sick to me. But
I read about that. Yeah, we're always trying to improve on creation, and then we end up backfiring ourselves with
absolutely
everything. We see that all the time. We've seen that with even some of the drugs that have been created when you get a natural holistic product. Now, again, the propolis has so many healing properties, and we can't get into it with this show, but we're definitely going to get into it with the next show. But you have, I think, a list, and you've given me a list. Why don't we, I could read it from your newsletter, some of the propolis benefits: antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, antiprotozoan, anti-ulcer, bactericidal, bacteriostatic, great for herpes, anti-cavity, gingivitis, canker sores, tooth extractions, oral bacteria, rhinitis, herpes, cartilage repair, cardioprotective, anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, asthma, bronchitis, anesthetic, wound healing, got to take a breath, tissue regeneration, anti-bleeding, histaminic, heat stress for warts, reduced cholesterol, lower blood pressure, antiseptic, UV protection, antibiotic synergy, vaccine synergy, bone formation, fertility and endometriosis, neuroprotective, hepatoprotective, respiratory infections, leucorrhea, candidus, tonsillitis, pancreatic health, anemia, UTIs, gastritis, burns, ear infections, headaches, seasonal allergies, gout, immune modulation, protection for fluoride toxicity, and I'm sure for other toxins, anti-cancer, prostate, breast, cervical, kidney, colon, pancreas, laryngeal, glioma, squamous, leukemia, radioprotective, anti-metastatic, and apoptosis induction, which is the death of the cell. And I'm sure we haven't hit on all of those. You could probably add a lot more, but I don't hardly believe this. I know when I first really studying about propolis and the new propolises, it was hard to believe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would like any listener out there who can hear that list and say, this product is completely irrelevant to me. This is something that has the potential to impact everybody. And this is really just talking about its medicinal applications. I think just taking it on a regular basis, you know, enhances your vitality, enhances your immune function, enhances brain, liver, kidney function. So it does all these wonderful things. And like you, a lot of people are skeptical when they see a list like this. But it goes back to that point we were talking about at the beginning. Propolis is really hundreds of different compounds.
Right.
It's not just one compound. So it's able to do these things because there are lots of different things in there.
Well, it's what we call an adaptogenic product. I mean, there's adaptogenic herbs. This is an adaptogenic, actually made product made from insects. And it's from the creation. It's phenomenal. And there's a lot of research and science, although a lot of it is still in vitro. There are some human studies coming out, but I have seen it in action, and I'm just really amazed. Well, okay, Mark, this has been a great interview. We've really enjoyed all the information. We didn't really even get to talk about the difference between red, green, and brown propolis, and how they're formulated and so forth. And I think we can get that in the next show, and hopefully everybody will be wanting to listen, and then we can talk more about getting into detail how all of these different compounds, how great they are for all kinds of different disease states and helping with a lot of different things. Mark, it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
It's been my pleasure being on, and anybody who wants to see the science, they can go to naturanectar.com and click on that propolis science section and see some of the research that's been done.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
The preceding information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. It is for educational purposes only. Always seek the advice of your qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding your medical condition.